Mama relaxed her grip. I knew that she was waiting for me to speak. There was a sinking feeling in my stomach, and I felt as if the world had turned itself upside down with me in it. Then I thought of Lily and Jean, and a surging anger gurgled upward, and I retaliated. Well, they ain't. But I leaned closer to Mama, anxiously hoping that she would agree with me. Of course they aren't, Mama said. White people may demand our respect, but what we give them is not respect, but fear. What we give to our own people is far more important because it's given freely. Now, you may have to call Lily and Jean Miss, because the white people say so, but you'll also call our own young ladies at church Miss, because you really do respect them. Baby, we have no choice of what color we're born, or who our parents are, or whether we're rich or poor. What we do have is some choice over what we make of our lives once we're here. Mama cupped my face in her hands, and I pray to God you'll make the best of yours. She hugged me warmly then and motioned me under the covers. As she turned the lamp down low, I asked, Mama, Uncle Hammer, if Mr. Morrison can't stop him, what'll happen? Mr. Morrison will bring him back. But just what if he can't, and Uncle Hammer gets to Mr. Sims? A shadowy fear fleeted across her face, but disappeared with the dimming light. I think you've done enough growing up for one day, Cassie, she said, without answering my question. Uncle Hammer'll be all right. Now go to sleep. Mama had been right about Uncle Hammer. When I awoke the next morning and followed the smell of frying bacon and baking biscuits into the kitchen, there he sat at the table, drinking coffee with Mr. Morrison. He was unshaven and looked a bit bleary-eyed, but he was all right. I wondered if Mr. Sims looked so good. I didn't get a chance to ask, because as soon as I had said good morning, Mama called me into her room, where a tub of hot water was waiting by the fireplace. Hurry up, she said. Uncle Hammer's going to take us to church. In his car? Mama's brow furrowed. Well, I just don't know. He did say something about hitching up Jack. My smile faded. But then I caught the teasing glint in her eyes, and she began to laugh. Oh, Mama, I laughed and splashed into the water. After my bath, I went into my room to dress. When I rejoined Mama, she was combing her hair, which fanned her head like an enormous black halo. As I watched, she shaped the long thickness into a large chignon at the nape of her neck and stuck six sturdy hairpins into it. Then, giving the chignon a pat, she reached for her pale blue cotton dress sprinkled with tiny yellow and white flowers and polished white buttons running from top to bottom along its front. She glanced down at me. You didn't comb your hair. No'm. I want you to fix me my grown-up hairdo. Mama began buttoning the top of her dress with long flying fingers as I slowly fastened the lower buttons. I loved to help Mama dress. She always smelled of sunshine and soap. When the last button had slipped into place, she buckled a dark blue patent leather belt around her tiny waist and stood ready except for her shoes. She looked very pretty. Where's your brush? Right here, I said, picking up the brush from where I had laid it on the chair. Mama sat down in Papa's rocker, and I sat on the deerskin rug in front of her. Mama divided my hair from ear to ear into two sections and braided the front section to one side and the back section right in the center. Then she wound each braid into a flat chignon against my head. My hair was too thick and long for me to do it well myself, but Mama could do it perfectly. I figured I looked my very best that way. When Mama finished, I ran to the mirror, then turned, facing her with a grin. She grinned back and shook her head at my vanity. One day, Mama, you gonna fix my hair like yours? That'll be a few years yet, she answered, readjusting the cardboard lining she had placed in her shoes to protect her feet from the dirt and gravel, which could easily seep through the large holes in the soles. She set the shoes on the floor and stepped into them. Now, with the soles facing downward and Mama's feet in them, no one could tell what the shiny exteriors hid. Yet I felt uncomfortable for Mama and wished that we had enough money for her to have her shoes fixed, or better still, buy new ones. After breakfast, Stacy, Christopher John, Little Man, and I sat impatiently by the dying morning fire waiting for Mama, Big Ma, and Uncle Hammer. Uncle Hammer was dressing in the boys' room, and Mama was in with Big Ma. I checked to make sure none of them was about to appear, then leaned toward Stacy and whispered, "You think Uncle Hammer whipped Mr. Sims?" "No," said Stacy quietly.
"No," cried Little Man.
You don't mean Mr. Sims whipped Uncle Hammer?" stammered an unbelieving Christopher John. "Nothing happened," said Stacy in explanation as he tugged irritably at his collar.
"Nothing?"
I repeated, disappointed. "Nothing."
"How you know?"
asked Little Man suspiciously. "Mama said so. I asked her straight out this morning."
"Oh," replied Little Man, resigned. "But something must have happened," I said. "I mean, Uncle Hammer and Mr. Morrison look like they haven't even been to bed. How come they look like that if nothing happened?"
"Mama said Mr. Morrison talked all night to Uncle Hammer. Talked him tired and wouldn't let him go up to the Simses."
"Oh, shoot," I exclaimed, my dream of revenge against the Simses vanishing as Stacy talked.
I propped my elbow on my knees, then settled my head in my upraised hands and stared into the glowing embers. A burning knot formed in my throat, and I felt as if my body was not large enough to hold the frustration I felt, nor deep enough to drown the rising anger.
"It ain't fair," Christopher John sympathized, patting me lightly with his pudgy hand.
"Sure ain't," agreed Little Man. "Cassie," Stacy said softly. At first I didn't look at him, thinking he would go ahead and say what he had to say. But when he didn't, I turned toward him. He leaned forward secretively, and automatically Christopher John and Little Man did the same. "Y'all better be glad nothing happened," he said in a whisper, "'cause I heard Big Ma tell Mama last night that if Mr. Morrison didn't stop Uncle Hammer, Uncle Hammer might get killed."
"Killed?"
we echoed as the fire sputtered and died.
"Who'd do that?" I cried. "Not one of them puny Simses."
Stacy started to speak, but then Mama and Big Ma entered, and he cautioned us into silence.